The views expressed on the Making It Matter podcast are that of Gunnar Esiason, Julia Ray, and guests, and not necessarily those of the Boomer Esiason Foundation. Nothing in the Making It Matter podcast should be considered medical advice. Such advice can only be given by a physician who is experienced with cystic fibrosis. The Boomer Esiason Foundation, Gunnar Esiason, Julia Ray, and guests cannot be held responsible for any damage which may result from using the information on this podcast without the permission of your medical doc. You're listening to the Making It Matter podcast with Gunnar Esiason and Julia Ray, presented by the Boomer Esiason Foundation and GunnarEsiason.com.
Hey there, it's Gunnar Esiason, and thanks for joining Julia and I for episode 45 of the Making It Matter podcast series, Cystic Fibrosis, Transplant, and Ireland.
Hi everyone, Making It Matter is a weekly podcast presented by the Boomer Esiason Foundation and GunnarEsiason.com, highlighting the challenges that people with CF face and the people who face them.
Since Julia, our guest, and I all have cystic fibrosis, we're remaining compliant with the National Cystic Fibrosis Guidelines regarding patient interaction and cross-infection by recording via Skype. This podcast was made possible by Novartis, Vertex Pharmaceuticals, and the Digital Credit Union, so big thanks to them for always supporting Boomer Esiason Foundation educational initiatives. All right, so today we have Luke Doherty on the program. He's 26 years old from Dublin, Ireland, and he's about 1 year post-transplant. I actually came across Luke's story a couple months ago on The Mighty, and I felt like he would definitely be a great guest here to have on the Making It Matter podcast. So, Luke, why don't you say hi to our listeners and tell us a little bit about yourself.
Hi, Alice. Thanks. So I'm a personal trainer from Dublin. I trained as a personal trainer all the way up till the transplant. I'm currently finishing my Bachelor of Science in strength and conditioning as well, so that'll be finished next year. And it's just when I was about to break into the fitness industry, that's when suddenly the lungs decide to kind of give way. I put up a post the other day about the stairs, and like I was working out at 25% lung function. I was doing 30 hours in the gym. I was teaching classes in another gym and working out 6 times a week. So, that was just before my transplant. And
so, I mean, it sounds like that's, you know, 30 hours a week of working out at 25% lung function is an incredible feat. Now all of a sudden you have your new lungs, and I have to imagine that the first breath of fresh air was something just, you know, a magical moment for you.
Kind of, like, it was weird. You don't really notice it, because, like, say, when I woke up, it was kind of, I didn't go in needing oxygen. I had a collapsed lung. Uh-huh. I was only on, like, not even half a lung, but I was still off oxygen. I was still able to work out twice a day. I was in good condition, so when I woke up, it wasn't like an immediate breath that I felt. It took a while to kind of notice these things, like even during my cardio at the moment, I don't get tired. When I'm in the gym, I don't get tired. So I struggle to pull myself back from not overdoing it. And I'm lucky enough that I have, like, my coach is an Olympic strength conditioning coach. So I have him looking after me, and if I get into bad things, like I usually do, because I like to push boundaries, I need him to pull me back, because I get very frustrated by, it's just so different. I have, like, at the moment, I think I'm at 78% lung function, and it's incredible. Like, I did a 5K with Lucasay the other week, and it was grand. Usually, like, me walking around, I'd be puffing a little bit, but, like, my body failed before my lungs did.
It sounds like that's such a testament to conditioning, though. Like, it sounds like your commitment to fitness already kind of paid off in the long run, too.
Yeah, it definitely did. Like, they'd never, like, my team were kind of finding it weird that I collapsed the lung and I managed to get off oxygen with a collapsed lung. And they're like, this shouldn't happen. But I always put in my conditioning. Even when I'm on 4 liters of oxygen in the hospital bed, I still make sure I did my Pilates. So while I was kind of coming out of the gym and my lung function was getting worse and worse and worse, I made sure I educated myself better. So I did my Pilates so that I could do the breathing movements in the Pilates. While I'm in the bed, I don't need to move much. I just do the Pilates movements. I do my cardio. and all of that, I ended up being stronger. Because when I went in, I'd usually lose about 10 kilos. But because of my conditioning, I started kind of keeping that on and was able to go in quite a good weight to the lung function. And I was insane even seeing that on a collapsed lung that I got off oxygen. And we didn't know which it was because I was put on Orkambi as well. So we were kind of wondering if it was Orkambi or if it was my conditioning, but we didn't kind of question anything once everything was fine.
So I want to back up a little bit here. What made you get into fitness to begin with? You sound like you're a little bit of a gym rat. What sort of, led you down that path in life from the beginning?
Just always been interested in sports. Like when I was younger, I played for two football teams and
That's soccer for the Americans.
sorry, soccer. Sorry. So I was always into like playing soccer and stuff, and it was kind of my life. Like my life revolved around it. And then just I actually went into I was going into cars at the start of college, and then I decided this wasn't for me. And then a few of my friends were in fitness course, and I was having a chat to them. They're like, "Yeah, come over," and didn't look back since.
So it sounds like it was a
So,
good decision you made. Now beyond that, I think our listeners want to know, what is cystic fibrosis care like in Ireland? How many patients are there? And is there a wide patient network? Do you know other patients with CF in Ireland? And what kind of care is offered to people living with cystic fibrosis?
well, like I wouldn't be one to kind of network with other CF people in Ireland. I kind of kept my head down and that kind of stuff. Like even I know it's on Twitter, there won't be a lot of Irish CF people that I could find on Twitter. There's the obvious ones like Gillian and Orla Tilsley and all that kind of stuff. But in general, I wouldn't be able to kind of reach out to that kind of thing. Like we're generally separated from each other,
But
in
what
general.
about the care standards? Obviously, I've been looking around. Patients are all over the world, and we sort of see that in certain areas of the world, care is similar. Here in the U.S., we use vest, and we all sort of have our very strict treatment regimen. But I've also found that in some places in Europe, people rely heavily on either the BiPAP machine or a physical therapist actually doing chest PT, things like that. What sort of care is normalized in Ireland?
Yeah, we don't really use vests. They seem to be too expensive. I remember when I was kind of inquiring about vests, they were too expensive for us. We were like looking at, I think it was 20 grand to get the vests, and we just couldn't afford it. So I don't think a lot of people in Ireland have the vests. We'd use like acapellas and that kind of stuff. I used acapella up to about, I'd say, 5 years ago, and then they switched me over to the BiPAP. And then I do kind of drop huffs with that and that kind of stuff. But no, see, I'd love to try the vest because it looks amazing. But
Well, now you don't need it though, because you have
yeah,
CF in the
no, I don't
U.S.
need
So now, talk a little bit more about the transplant process here. What was that like? Were you on the list for a long time? Was it a quick turnaround? What is the transplant process and the list like in Ireland?
Yeah, it was very quick. I was actually kind of lucky because they're already talking about me going on the list and then kind of pulling back and saying no, it just looks like asthma. He's actually all right. And then when I collapsed the lung, it was kind of straight into it. We were already kind of in the process, so it was straight in, get it sorted. I went through about 2 weeks of tests. But my surgeon looking after my collapsed lung was actually one of the surgeons for the transplant. So it was kind of good in a way, like he could kind of rush things through for me. Then I was put on the list in March and got the transplant in August.
Oh, so not too bad of a wait.
No, it was quite quick. It was very quick compared to some of them.
And did you have any fears or reservations going through the process? Obviously, it's a time of, great stress for some people. Did you, what were your thoughts leading into the surgery itself?
No, I was grand with it. I've always had a kind of, it's weird, kind of like a vision that I knew that I'd kind of be big in the fitness world. So this kind of transplant never scared me. I knew, like I said to one of my team actually was rang by the transplant people and said like, will you come over to our team? And they're trying to headhunter. And I said to her, I'll be there in a year. So I wanted to go over. Like I didn't have any fear about it. I never thought something bad would happen. Had complete confidence in them. I was one of the only people that didn't need a sedative beforehand. So they'll give it when they tell you that you've got the lungs. They can give you something to kind of calm you a little bit. I just said no. There's no point. Like I just want to go for a nap, to be honest. Like I've been up 24 hours. So I just wanted to go for a nap and kept asking for the surgeon, and because I thought the guy I knew was in there, and I was having a great laugh. I just had no fear. So it's just one of those things. It's different for different people, I suppose. I've always seen myself making it big in the fitness world, so I never.
And how quickly did you get back to fitness? Like, I imagine with how fitted you are, you probably wanted to get going right away.
They woke me up within 24 hours, and then I was standing up pretty quickly, but I was so doped out that I kept falling asleep while I was trying to stand up. So they had to wait another 24 hours till I kind of woke up a little bit. But then I was up walking every day, and it was no problem. Didn't need their help to stand up, and I was using my bike. I have a spin bike in my room and everything, and then getting coached straight down to make sure I didn't kind of push it too hard. I need to keep an eye on me and that kind of stuff. So I was straight into it.
So it sounds like your fitness definitely helped you through the entire transplant process as a whole. If you're talking to, let's say you have a platform here and you want to talk to other people with cystic fibrosis, obviously not everyone's capable of such an extreme level of fitness. But what would your advice be to people that are, with either declining lung function or people who want to get started in the fitness world? What would you say to them?
Just try it slowly but surely. Like that, I've had many setbacks, and like I've gone from even with this PTL, I got PTLD. It took a lot out of me. I lost 20 kilos. Walking was not the greatest. Like I was all over the place. And then slowly but surely, I got back. I just took it a day at a time. Just keep constant in it. Like I kind of train mentally. I'm quite strong, so even when I'm in a bad mood and I don't want to train, I do it because I know I kind of have to, just to keep going. And if I do stop, I would just stop and just sit on the couch. So I need to push it. And there are days that you just don't feel like going to the gym. You don't feel like lifting those weights, going for a run, but you kind of have to. And especially with the transplant list, you have to make yourself as well as you can so your body can take it. It is, even though I didn't feel like it when I woke up, it is a big surgery to go through. I woke up and was just like, yeah, it's grand, I'll stand up and that kind of thing. And they were telling me to calm down. Could have just been I was high on the sedatives and that kind of stuff. Like, doing all this kind of personal training stuff, it does work, and I know it is hard. Like there was times I was dropping lung function, and it wasn't the greatest idea, but I kind of knew what I was doing, and I knew that.
You talk about setbacks and some frustrations. I think with me personally, I know that whenever every time I get an active infection or whatever, it sort of seems like I have to start over, right? I've been in the gym or I've been working out or I've been playing hockey for weeks, months, or whatever, and then all of a sudden I get the 2 weeks of infection. I have to go on IVs and all that stuff, and it feels like as soon as the IV sort of comes to an end here, you know, after letting my body heal for, you know, a couple of weeks, it's like I had to start over from the very beginning. And that, I think, is the most frustrating part for me. But I, like you said, the ultimate motivation is knowing that you have to keep your body as healthy as possible so that, you know, you can be successful in life.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I think your mental toughness, too, like, comes from your commitment to physical fitness. Like, they feed each other, and that kind of helps get up and get to it when those setbacks happen, I'm sure.
Yeah. And it's also trying to get out of hospital as quickly as I can.
Yeah.
I'm just
no one loves being in the hospital. But, you know, you mentioned one more thing I want to discuss before we let you go here. You started talking about your PTLD. So, obviously, PTLD is something that can happen to people that are post-transplant, and unfortunately, you're one of the people that that it happened to. You're actually the second of our guests to be post-transplant and have suffered PTLD. So like I said before we were recording, you're part of a very select group of people to have been on Making It Matter and also have PTLD, but it sounds like you're sort of coming through it. You know, what was that process like?
It was kind of interesting. I was in clinic on the Tuesday, and I was just feeling like, just feeling fatigued, and like my trainer was saying to me the day before, like, you do look fatigued. And I just thought it was a busy week. I was just over 3 months post transplant, so I was doing a lot that week because I was allowed to drive again, I was allowed out, and all that kind of stuff. And then they rang me to come in because they were like, your infection levels are high, we want to see you, and your white cells are low. And then they said, so I don't do things in halves. A bad case of PTLD is 40,000. Mine was 770,000. Yeah, they were quite high. So when I went in, like, I was feeling all right, but then I started getting more tired, and then I was just sleeping for days. It was quite bad. And I wasn't strong enough to take the chemo. So I had to go on an antibody first for a few weeks, and we let the levels drop right down, and then I was allowed to kind of go on the chemo, and we did 6 bouts of that, and was training through the whole thing. So once I was allowed out, I was training through the whole thing. It like, if I felt sick in the morning, me going to the gym made me feel better, so I didn't feel sick for the rest of the day. So I kind of couldn't stop training, if you know what I mean. And I just had to be smart about it, not overdo it, and pull back when I had to. And then with the white cells being low, be careful in the gym environment. I was lucky that the gym with me and I used to work in, so I got the keys to the studio, so I just walked straight into a studio and stay away from the public.
Because obviously germs and bacteria are a serious threat to people post-transplant, especially people going through PTLD treatment.
Yeah, for about a week and a half, my white cells were flatlined. I just didn't have an immune system. So those weeks I'd stay indoors for a little bit. After the third round, I got a bit bored staying indoors, so I went to the gym straight away. And I actually recovered quicker the more I was in the gym.
Oh, wow.
And then, like, I just finished the last round about 3 weeks ago, I think, now. And I'm already up 4 kilos in weight. Everything just because I was training throughout and that kind of stuff. So it definitely does save you when you kind of need it.
Well, it certainly sounds like it. I mean, it also sounds like it's giving you some clarity, right? You know, you sound like you want to get right back into the gym right away. You know, it sort of gives you a purpose.
Yeah. Well, like, I found it's a release for me.
It sounds like your mental therapy.
Yeah. That's exactly what it sounds like.
Definitely is. Like, when I was getting sicker and sicker, and I had to come out of the gym a lot, I was too tired to go to the gym, and there was a stage that I didn't really work out that much. I could see it in myself that just mentally it was my escape. And, like, even the physio's telling me, here, you have to come out of the gym, you can't be spending that much time in the gym, it did frustrate me. And that's why I got my qualification in Pilates and that kind of stuff, because at least I'd have something to do, because I needed some type of release. I just, like, to go from squatting over 100 kilos to like doing body weight was
It's
just a
frustrating.
killer for me.
Yeah, I can't imagine. Yeah, I mean, it's like we talked about before. You know, the frustration and feeling like you need to start over, right? That's like that's, you know, you see, you know, healthy people for example, you know, they get in the gym and they can, you know, continue building gains and stuff like that for their entire life. But people with CF or chronic illness, you know, they have a setback and all of a sudden they're starting from square one. You know, that's, I think, the frustration that a lot of people deal with, not just in the gym but also in other facets of life. You know, you know, you have cystic fibrosis, and then all of a sudden, you know, you're in the middle of, you know, grade school, right? And you're in the middle of a project, and all of a sudden you get sick. You know, your friends, your classmates, your peers are continuing on with their studies, whereas you have to spend 2 weeks recovering, and you know, and then you have to catch up somehow. That's, I think, the real challenge that people with CF face.
Yeah, definitely.
So, you know, I think we're sort of coming toward the end here. Julie, do you have anything else you want to ask? You know, I do think we've covered a lot here from PTLD to your transplant process. You know, Luke, can you take us through a typical workout? How about that?
I don't really have a typical workout at
So,
the
when you go to the gym today, what are you gonna
well, you've caught me on a bad day. Today's recovery day.
Oh.
No, I do have a set kind of plan at the moment. So, say like tomorrow's Arms Day, so we'll just skip that. I kind of split it between upper body and lower body. On one of the days, so we'll do about two or three exercises of each. So, chest press, lat pull downs, squats, that kind of stuff. And I always make sure I warm up properly. I don't really use cardio machines. I do dynamic warm ups with like resistance bands and all that kind of stuff. And then it depends in the evening. I'm starting to do a lot of cardio in the evening because it takes a lot for me to go do cardio because I'm getting very bored with it at the moment.
You're not alone there.
No, it's shocking. Like I was really motivated when I had to do the run with Lucozade, because their PR team were looking at me. So I had to be
You
fit
had
enough.
motivation.
And then once that finished and I had a slight injury, I was kind of like, oh, I'll do it tomorrow. I'll do it tomorrow. And then I realized I have clinic tomorrow, so I should probably do a bit of cardio and get a little bit fitter. But yeah, no, it's generally at the moment it's about two or three exercises per kind of body part. Because I don't want to kind of ruin the body and stress it too much. And then our next phase is at the end of this month. I'll be going back to my trainer and we'll get me into the gym and see how much I can take, basically.
Yeah, I mean, you know, continuing to find that limit, I think, is an important part. And obviously, nutrition's a huge part of your life, too. You know, what's that like for you?
Yeah, no, I love just eating everything, to be honest.
The classic CF diet.
It's the best thing ever. Like I found post transplant now, I'm able to put on a lot of weight very quickly. So in general, I found I can put on muscle mass very quickly. So every month I can put on about 2 kilos of muscle mass, and then now I can also put on a little bit of fat as well. So my weight can go very quickly like that within, I'd say, 2 weeks. I went up 4 kilos. And that was me just pushing in the gym. And then if I switch my program, I know now it'll go straight back up again. But then I keep an eye on it. I've got a high enough qualification in nutrition as well, so dietitians hate me. Because I, sorry.
Go ahead.
Yeah, they just hate me because I just constantly tell them they're wrong. And they kind of have to take it in some ways because they know me. I've made a few of them cry,
Oh boy.
which was kind of bad, like, but I was just telling them exactly what was happening with the nutrition and that kind of side, and they never know how to kind of help us because everything I'm doing is right, basically, and they keep saying it to me. But yeah, no, it's all right. Like I eat a lot of high fat but healthy fats, if you know what I mean. So I've switched to that kind of a diet. I just find that like I'm very lean as well, so that helps kind of with my energy levels and that kind of stuff.
All right,
Sounds
so.
like you're just like a true testament to commitment to fitness and
Oh
how
yeah,
valuable that
he's a
is.
gym
Like,
rat. That's exactly what this is.
yeah, I
I'm slightly addicted. Like this is
know.
killing me having a rest day. Like
Yeah.
I literally drove past the gym today
But
just to see if it was all right. I'm
it's just
like,
like there's so much proof in your story too, how much that helped you like recover. And I mean, it's kind of amazing
yeah.
how you've kind of parlayed that into staying so healthy in spite of in spite of the setbacks that you faced. So
Thanks. Yeah, it definitely like fitness is that one thing that like I just don't see why people don't do it more, if you know what I mean. It's like I always hear excuses like when I was a trainer and they were saying to me like, oh no, I don't have time and this kind of stuff. And I was like, I was doing classes at 6 in the morning, I worked out, and then I went to work from 2 till 10. So I just don't understand when people say like I don't have time.
I think everyone's built
Just
different, right? And it's all about finding the motivation to get yourself to a healthy point. And I think if anything, your story is definitely testament to the fact that, fitness and understanding your body and treating your body the right way is really going to help people in the long run. But that's all the time we have for today. Luke, thanks so much for joining us today.
no problem. Thanks for having me.
And remember, thanks for the audience tuning in for the 45th episode of Making It Matter. Remember, you can follow along with our weekly podcast via my YouTube channel on gunnerassiason.com or juliaray.com. And now you can subscribe to our podcast on iTunes. And if you do, remember to like, share, and review that. Like, share, review. And if you want to see us podcast, oh, also there's Instagram too. Yes, Instagram. Julia, what's the Instagram handle?
At making it matter underscore CF.
Yes, follow us on Instagram too. And if you want to see us podcast about something specific, you can always send us an email at gunnersblog@asiason.org or Julia's email.
Julia Ray at juliaray.com.
Or you can send either of us a message on Facebook because we want to hear what, we want to know what you want us to podcast about. And that's, I think, the best way to go about this. And we love hearing from you. This is Gunnar Esiason for Julia Ray signing off.
Bye, everyone.